Hello, everyone. You are listening to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today we begin day three of our society article, and I have back in the studio with me Lois and Linda. Welcome, panelists.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Great being here again, Brandon.
I really like our discussion the past 2 days. We've been talking about social media, the pros and cons of posting, and let's just do a little recap. We had a big discussion. How can we summarize or review what we've been talking about, Linda?
Well, I think, you know, to me it just comes down to be thoughtful about what you're posting. And if you're looking at photos, you know, be mindful that this isn't people's normal lives.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's not the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember. They're on their vacation. A lot of people only get 2 or 3 weeks off in a whole year. And you should be happy for them, because I'm sure they're pretty happy that they're finally on vacation.
That's
and now
point.
They get to post some photos. So right. Celebrate with them. Celebrate life, folks.
Yes, good points. And it also reminds us, you know, we went over 10 rules of posting, and there's some good tips there. You may not agree with everything, but some involve safety. Maybe we shouldn't tell everyone that we are leaving our house for a week, because someone may see that and break into your home. So there are some concerns there. We can think too much about posting, whether or not we should post something. We can put too much thought into it, and sometimes we can not put enough thought into it. So there's a balance to it all. But at the end of the day, what is your motive, right? I think that's what really should guide us. What's the motive behind what you are doing? We also talked about we can be an encouragement to people through social media, so that's certainly a good thing. Today we are switching gears a bit. We're still talking about social media, but we're talking about the environment. And we titled this Social Media, the Planet's Best Defense, with a question mark. Maybe it is, maybe it's not, but that is the question that we are talking about today and the topic we'll be discussing. We're on page 42, so if you have your magazines, please open them up and we will have our first reading for today.
Social media, the planet's best defense? Environmental advocates and organizations have embraced the revolution in online networking in no small way to raise awareness about climate change and the need for conservation of wild lands and animals, and to generate support for specific campaigns and the green movement in general. Perhaps the most immediate way social media help the cause is via the mountaintop selfie. For many of us, a trip into the wilderness isn't complete without a public post to announce our whereabouts. At the University of Vermont, researchers are using geotagged photos on social media to study the use and relative popularity of different parks and even specific trails. New tracking capabilities of personal technology also record real-time statistics that can be used as a crucial defense of public parks.
All right, we are talking about environmental advocates. If you are an advocate of the, you know, environment, what are you doing, Linda?
Well, it means that you are for it, and so you are, you know, talking about how to protect it. So we're trying to save it, basically.
All right. Okay, and there are organizations doing this and individuals as well, and they've embraced this the revolution in online networking. And so they're using social media to help maybe save the planet, so they think, at least, if they are involved with this. Mm-hmm. And they want to bring attention to environmental issues. So they've embraced this revolution in online networking, and it says, in no small way, to raise awareness, Lois.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we know about it. You're becoming aware of it. And I think there's a lot of things that are beneficial about doing this.
Okay, and they're raising awareness about climate change. We've talked about this a lot. We used to say global warming, but now we normally refer to it as climate change. And they also are emphasizing the need for conservation of wild lands and animals. So there's a lot involved here, Linda.
Yes, it certainly is. And notice that I just want to go up to the verb embrace. These organizations and advocates have embraced this revolution. It doesn't mean they're hugging them. It just means that they really are using it widely and really accepting it as a way of communication to get out information to people. Because we know that social media touches a lot of lives and reaches across all walks of life. And so this is a good way of getting awareness out about climate change and also for wildlands and animals. And if you're talking about wildlands, you know, less and less land is open, you know, I mean open to the wild or open to nature because it's so much of it's being developed. So they are trying to get support for specific campaigns and also for the green movement in general.
That's right. And the green movement, of course, is talking about people who are banding together, they're coming together to, you know, protect the environment. You know, an environmentalist is someone who might be in the green movement. And their whole idea is to protect the environment. And they're doing all sorts of campaigns that may be on social media as well to get people involved in the movement.
Also, they are promoting goods that are not harmful to the environment.
That's right.
So it says that's one of their big things as well.
Right. Definitely been involved in the green movement a little bit by what I've supported. And also because I'm really into water issues, meaning both lakes and oceans. I like to know as much about this as possible, and I also do quite a bit of posting about it on my Facebook wall.
Okay, well, others are doing the same. They're turning to social media to get the word out, and it talks about that, taking that mountaintop selfie. It says perhaps the most immediate way social media helped the cause is via the mountaintop selfie. People are hiking up to a mountaintop and taking a selfie, and maybe it's in a national park, and that kind of promotes that park.
That's right. And, you know, yeah, because sometimes people don't know what you're talking about. They've heard about it. Maybe they're not really aware of wilderness or the specific wilderness in that area, so they don't know really what they're trying to protect here.
Right.
So actually by having the selfie in the wilderness, you know, and people look at that, they can relate to it more.
And that's a positive way of doing it. But you could also take a photo of trash or plastic, and you see that sometimes in the ocean, and you think, my word, what is that?
Yeah.
And so seeing the pictures, you know, we have that saying a picture is worth 1,000 words, and that really can draw people in.
I call it a shaming picture. I have done it on some beaches in the world where I've made sure I'm in the picture as well, but I'll say, look what's around me, and everybody's expecting all this beauty, and what's around me is garbage.
Right. And it can just, it's another way of reminding people, hey, we should take care of the planet that we've been given, right? And clean up our trash. So for many of us, a trip into the wilderness isn't complete without a public post to announce our whereabouts. And, you know, we've been talking about posting the past few days is another way to just post on social media, tell people where you are. And then we go to the University of Vermont and talk about researchers and how they are using geotagged photos on social media. What is this all about, Lois?
Well, geotag, I think we want to look at our specialized terms for that. It says it's an electronic tag that shows where a specific type of media, such as a photograph or video, was taken.
Okay, you can do this on your status update on Facebook. There's an option there for you to just tap on the pin and a location may come up, and you can kind of tag the location there, and it lets people know where the photo was taken. And that's a fun way to just show people where you were. And we talked about, I believe yesterday, sometimes people take photos and they don't tell you, you know, where that place was. And this is a way to show people where you work. So we're at the University of Vermont talking about researchers, and they're using this function on social media to study the use and relative popularity of different parks and even specific trails. So maybe they are looking at people who have been to these different parks and they've tagged themselves there, they've checked in or something, and they're maybe seeing how popular they are.
Right, and so I think that that would show researchers the importance of the area and also show them, you know, is it being overused?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's another big cause for concern.
So just a clarification, the researchers aren't the ones geotagging it. There other people have done it, but they are just studying what has already been done.
Yeah.
A lot of national parks have been afraid of overuse, so this is good for them to have this information.
Okay, there is also new tracking capabilities of personal technology, and this records real-time statistics and can be used as a crucial defense of public parks. So the point is they're using technology to bring in data and to maybe show, hey, as Lois was talking about, this park is being used too much, mm-hmm. and we need to protect this park, right? Maybe they need to limit how many people come there or do something to make some changes. Okay, well, that is a bit of an introduction of what we're talking about here concerning the green movement and technology. Let's learn more in our next reading for today.
Social media has also been repurposed for environmental activism in several ways. Advocacy organizations are able to widely disseminate their messages through different social media platforms. However, it's difficult to assess the long-term engagement resulting from these messages. Nevertheless, larger environmental groups have hundreds of thousands of online fans that drink up every post and call to action. A number of environmental campaigns have used social media to apply key pressure on polluters, including the Greenpeace Anti-Arctic Drilling Campaign.
Okay, so social media has been repurposed. That's a funny comment to me, because we think of, you know, something's been repurposed that's old, but social media is not that old.
Right, but it means that they're trying to change the direction that social media has taken. At least this organization doesn't use it in the way that we've been talking about the last couple of days.
Right, just to find a new use for mm-hmm. it. Okay, so social media has been repurposed for environmental activism in several ways. That word activism, Lois.
Right, the word activism says that the use of direct and noticeable action. So we think often of protests. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it says usually a political or social one. In this case, it's a social one or social environmental one.
Okay, so they're using online resources. They're using social media to get the word out. You know, we're used to people, as Lois said, maybe protesting and joining those things. It's not that they're not doing that anymore necessarily, but maybe they're using this online platform to really get the information out. And we also learn about advocacy organizations. What are they able to do, Linda?
Well, they are able to widely disseminate their messages through different social media platforms, which means that the organizations that are pro, you know, saving the environment or saving the wilderness, they can, this word, long word, disseminate, just means to spread something quickly. Mm-hmm. So if you put up, you know, a notice or an announcement or a situation on social media, a different social media platforms, we're not just talking about Facebook here, but across mm-hmm. the board, tweeting, whatever, you know, you can reach a wide number of people in with just one post.
Right.
Right. I've had experience with this with just watching certain parts of North America where all of a sudden they've said on social media and all the different types of social media, the bulldozers are there. They're going to touch this forest. We don't want them to touch. Everybody show up. now. And when they say now, they mean now, and you cannot believe how many people are there within about 45 minutes.
So with that example, you can judge the effectiveness mm-hmm. of it. But here we see in the next sentence, it's difficult to assess the long-term engagement resulting from these messages. So they don't know if this will be useful in many years from now. I think as we live in this age, we can fall into information overload. We just have so much information. So it's yet to be seen how effective this will be down the road.
Well, I also think we need to remember that sites are changing. Social media is changing. So I'm sure that there's going to be another, maybe more efficient platform for dissemination of information or for a call to action in the future.
Right.
It might not be as we know it at all right now.
Maybe next week. Who knows?
Yeah, that is true. I mean, really, 20, 30 years ago, it was only the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No? I mean...
And before that, it was only Morse code, right? Like, you think about it,
yeah.
right?
How fast we've come.
Yeah.
So we don't know the direction that this is going to take.
Yeah. All right. Well, nevertheless, larger environmental groups have hundreds of thousands of online fans. So there are a lot of people online, and they are drinking up the posts, meaning that they love it. Give me more, right? You're just taking it in, drinking it up, and they're drinking up the post and the call to action, which is what you were referring to earlier with
yes.
that example you gave, Lois.
Right. So you get people mobilized. And sometimes when they know there's going to be action in an area that might do damage to the environment, people start camping in that area,
mm-hmm.
staying in hotels, cabins, so they can mobilize themselves very quickly.
That's a great word. Mobilize. If you mobilize someone, you are encouraging them to get involved, right? And that's exactly what they're doing here with the green movement. They are trying to get people involved so they can join the cause of protecting the environment. Well, it says a number of environmental campaigns have used social media to apply key pressure on polluters. And they give an example here. What is that, Linda?
It's the Greenpeace Anti-Arctic Drilling Campaign.
Okay, and this is called the Save the Arctic Movement.
Mm-hmm.
And so Greenpeace has this movement, and they are actually trying to protect the area around the North Pole. And so they want people to get involved with that, and they want this kind of create a global sanctuary in this uninhabited area around the North Pole. And they want to ban oil drilling, and they don't want any destructive fishing. So that's what that movement is about. And so this is an example of a campaign that they would maybe put information out
right.
online and
mm-hmm.
other places to get people involved.
And Greenpeace is very good at explaining also, we're not against drilling. But we're against drilling in this area, and these are the reasons why.
Right,
mm-hmm.
which is helpful for anything.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. My husband and I actually interviewed a Greenpeace person one time to get a donation from us,
mm-hmm.
and he was so well-versed, and his information was so detailed. It just really helped you understand their movement more.
Okay, well, we have been talking about different organizations and groups and so forth, but what about individuals? Of course, they are getting involved as well. Let's find out how in our next reading.
Individuals are also taking action. And social media isn't just for the large, well-heeled groups. Individuals are using social media to similar ends, telling their stories and drumming up sympathy and support. Communities that are suffering particular environmental damages are able to tell their stories on social media platforms, helping to humanize the issues. For example, victims of the 2010 Deepwater Horizon oil spill posted about the environmental effects of the accident on Facebook and Twitter. Social media has become an important tool for providing a space and means for the public to participate in influencing or disallowing environmental decisions historically made by governments and corporations that affect us all, says Public Lab co-founder Shannon Desemigan.
Okay, so individuals are getting involved as well. And social media isn't just for the large, well-heeled groups. What is that? word mean well-heeled?
In this day and age, it means rich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. It did have several other meanings as it's progressed through the world of words.
Exactly.
Now it just means somebody who's wealthy. But like mm-hmm. back in the 1800s, it also meant somebody who had a gun that was like moving to the West and to make sure that their gun worked well. It also had something to do with somebody playing cards. So it had a variety of meanings, but right now it just means somebody who's wealthy.
Language changes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it had all those. It still kind of has all those meanings, mm-hmm. but
the primary one now
is rich.
Okay.
And wealthy. Yeah.
So not only these rich groups are involved, these groups who are well funded, but individuals are also getting involved, and they're using social media to similar ends or with the same purpose. When you see the ends in this manner, it just means purpose. And what are they doing, Lois?
Well, they're telling their stories, Brandon, and drumming up sympathy and support. And when we think of drumming up, we think of, in this case, maybe increasing interest or drawing interest into something they're doing. And in this case, it's a campaign.
That's right. And sometimes you may see a video online of something and it may cause you to have sympathy and it may cause you to have the desire to support. This could be with anything. And so that's one way social media could be used. And we also hear, Linda, are talking about communities that are suffering from environmental damages.
Right, and they are also able to tell their stories on social media platforms. And what that does, I like the way it says it. It says helping to humanize the issues. So usually if we can put people into a situation and see how it's damaging their lifestyle, their livelihood, their very surroundings or their very well-being,
yeah.
then people are, you know, generally more moved to do something.
They get it.
Mm-hmm.
It's they're directly
the call to action.
Yeah, directly linked to that.
Right.
If you hear, you know, someone from an organization or some government, you know, politician, something like that, talking about it, it may not have the same effect because you think this is their job. We hear about this all the time, but this person, they were affected by mm-hmm. this issue, and you see them in that environment maybe, yeah. and it can evoke a very different response.
Right. In fact, there's been some great movies based on that that have all drawn so many people's attention. And then they want to get involved, and they want to be informed as well.
And they give us an example here. Many of you may remember the Deepwater Horizon oil spill back in 2010. This was in the Gulf of Mexico, and it was the largest marine oil spill in history.
Mm-hmm.
And it was caused by an explosion on the Deepwater Horizon oil rig. And this was just near the state of Louisiana, just off the coast of the state of Louisiana in the United States. And so that was a big news story and caused a lot of problems.
Yeah, I certainly remember the name of the company involved, and it really did, but it didn't cause way more damage to the environment.
Yes, it did. And so that's an example they give here. And what did they do? They posted some things about that, Linda.
Well, they posted photos of how it was affecting the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, it's an oil spill. Mm-hmm. So it not only affects land, it affected all the water, the fowl in the area, all the sea life in the area, all the coastline. It covered all the rocks,
yeah.
all the tree, you know, the brush and trees.
Right. And my home in the United States is not terribly far from this. Actually,
right.
when we go to the beach, we go to the Gulf of Mexico. So I remember, you know, there was, you know, some issue with that. And then I think it got cleaned up faster than they expected, but it still caused a lot of damage.
Well, it also affected a lot of people's livelihoods because of fishing. You know, there were a lot of fishermen that come out of that Gulf of Mexico,
mm-hmm.
Louisiana area, and they couldn't fish at all.
And so much shrimp fishing there, and
yeah.
it was totally
mm-hmm.
destroyed.
Yeah.
Right. Well, here in the last paragraph, we hear from Public Lab co-founder, and Shannon Dosmagen is the name. And what does Shannon say, Linda?
Well, she says that it is it has become a very important tool for providing the space and means or way for the public to be a part of influencing or disallowing environmental decisions historically made by governments and corporations that affect us all. That is a very long sentence.
It's a way for people to speak out in an effective
manner. And get involved.
Right.
Right.
And so we know that about social media.
Yeah.
We've been talking about posting photos and all that kind of thing. But here we're talking about a more serious issue, and we can use social media for those issues as well.
Exactly. Like oftentimes you'll hear people say, I'm going to put that on social media. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, I didn't quite know what they meant. But you can change from friends just seeing you on Facebook to the world seeing mm-hmm. you on Facebook. And that just starts it going. And it usually continues, especially if it's a very serious issue that would concern an awful lot of people.
Right. So, again, we talked about the pros and cons, and you can use social media for good, and you can use it for not so good things. You can use it for important things or just everyday things. There are so many uses for social media, but the point is not to let it rule your life, but to use it as a tool for good. And so that is something to think about as we come to the end of our society article. This does affect most societies these days. So it is something that is very good to think about and reflect upon, and think about, you know, what do you post and should there be any changes, or how do you react to other people's posts and should you make any changes there and how you view social media. We'd like to hear your feedback. Please go onto our website, studioclassroom.com, and let us know your thoughts. Also, check out our Topic Talks videos. You can scan the QR code there at the top of page 40, or you can go onto our website, studioclassroom.com. Until next time, this is Brandon,
Lois,
and Linda
saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.